Thank you, Adam. Final half hour of the program. Jimmy Smith taking over, of course, at midday. Don't forget, Matty Johns and Morning Glory on the SEN network from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. But how do you build a rugby league squad from scratch? If I gave you $10 million and you got to look ahead to 2023 and you're in charge of the Dolphins, where do you go first? And how do you squeeze all of that talent that's going to come off contract into the list? Well, this morning, great coverage, I've got to say, on the Daily Telegraph of this expansion from all the way through. And Nick Campton has taken a look at the players who are available over the next couple of years, not just NRL, and he's come up with a roster underneath a salary cap of about $10.2 million, the starting 17 costing just over $8 million. And Campo's on the line. Thank you, mate. Welcome to the program. And thanks for this article as well, because, gee, it just shows how deep and how detailed you can go trying to start something from scratch.
Yeah, absolutely, Matty. It's good to be here. I've got to be honest, maths isn't my strong suit, so I had to crunch a fair few of the numbers and double and triple check them. But it does show sort of how in depth things can be when you are building a squad and trying to find that right combination.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people are going to focus, mate, on a marquee player. You need a marquee player at a new club. We all understand that. And we all understand that with a marquee player comes the biggest check that you're going to have to write. So on that front, you've landed on Cameron Munster at $1 million. So can you see Cameron Munster linking up with Wayne Bennett? He's spoken about it. He's made it pretty clear. Can you see that happening, first of all? And can you see the Storm wanting to let him go?
Oh, Matty, at this point, I'd be more surprised if it didn't happen, because just the way Cameron Munster's talked about joining up with that second Brisbane team and Wayne Bennett, he's been sort of indicating his interest in that even before the team's entry into the competition was confirmed. So I really think it's a matter of if, not when, he actually does link up with them. I've no doubt Melbourne will fight very hard to keep him. He's become such a big part of what they do down there, but he's a Queensland boy, and just the interest that he's shown in linking up with this team makes me think that he'll be maybe not the first signing, but definitely one of the big marquee ones for the Dolphins.
Christian Welsh, you've got him as captain there. You've got Harry Grant as well. So obviously a very strong play out of the Melbourne Storm. Who was the first name that you landed on when you looked at this possible squad? When you wrote down 1 through 17, who was the first one that you put in there?
Well, Cameron Munster was probably the first one, just because of what we talked about before with the links he already has to the franchise. But the second one was Christian Welsh. He seems to me to be the perfect kind of player to build a club around, not just with his on-field stuff, like we all know how good he is in the front row for Melbourne, but for his off-field qualities as well. I would think for a new franchise trying to build a culture and make a name for themselves, you'd have no one better than Christian Welsh. I think he'd be an ideal candidate to captain the club for its first few years. I think he'd be great for them as an off-field ambassador as well. He'd be the one that I'd be really zeroing in on if I was the Dolphins.
Could you find no room for a Brandon Smith?
Well, I just think Melbourne are going to have to make a decision soon on Brandon Smith or Harry Grant, and because they're both too good to only play hooker part-time. And, you know, it's a bit of a much of a muchness because they're both great players in vastly different ways. But I sort of landed on Grant just because he does have that Queensland link, and because Smith's been playing so well as the starter down at Melbourne, it seems difficult to see him getting pushed out, even by a player of Harry Grant's calibre.
Yeah, and then in your 17, you go looking for a bit of a bargain hunter, and your lowest paid player in this possible squad is Tremaine Spry. So you've got him in at $150,000. How did you arrive there?
Well, I think one of the great weapons of the Dolphins could have at their disposal is the vast amount of talent in the Intrust Super Cup, the Queensland Cup up there. They'd be very, very familiar with it, given that's been Redcliffe's home for, you know, pretty much their entire existence. And that's where they can really make up some of the bargain buys to help fill out that squad. And players like Tremaine Spire are a good example of that. He had a really good year for Tweed Heads in that competition, but he didn't seem to get much of a run at the Titans, and he's sort of at that age where he's starting to mature and prove that he can be a top class player. So while the big exciting names are the ones that, you know, sell newspapers and get all the clicks on the stories, the players that fill out the rest of the squad are just as important, and the Queensland Cup is a very fertile talent ground, and I expect that's one that the Dolphins will exploit as much as they can.
Yeah, two other names that you threw up there. They didn't obviously land in your squad, but you throw this out there, the Daly Cherry-Evans contract with Manly expires in 2023. So a one-year swan song with the Dolphins, as you say, wouldn't be a bad fit at all, but luring Walker from the Roosters would be a different task altogether.
Well, Matty, as you know, the Roosters generally don't lose players they want to keep, so the Dolphins might have to send down a SWAT team or something to get Sam Walker out of Bondi, but it's definitely something worth exploring because, again, he's a Queensland boy. He might want to be closer to home, and he's the sort of player that you can build a club around, not just for a couple of years, but for 10-plus years. You know, if the option's even there, if it's even a possibility, I think the Dolphins would be mad not to explore it. And with Cherry Evans, it's probably a little bit harder to see him leaving Manly in any capacity. But again, it's worth a try just because he would have that veteran experience, that veteran presence. And he's so much of a known commodity and a known quality in Queensland, you know. So I think both of them would be good fits. But that's the exciting part of a new franchise coming in. You know, the possibilities are endless right now.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a good game to play, isn't it? And now that we can play the money ball aspect of it as well, you point out here that the total of $10.2 million is what you're saying could be as high as for 2023, even though clubs are instructed to work under a cap of $9.3 million. Final one, when you were considering this possible squad, not just the players who are going to be off contract and not just how you got to fit them into the salary cap, did you have your Wayne Bennett thinking hat on and about what influence he had and what type of players would outside of Munster would want to go and play with him?
I did, because I think we've all been able to see over the last few months that it was always very likely that Wayne Bennett was going to end up coaching this new Brisbane team, you know, whether it was the Jets or the Firehawks or the Dolphins. So there probably was a bit of that went into it. Somebody like Corey Allen, for example, who's had a tough time of things at Canterbury. He's worked so well under Bennett in the past at South Sydney and for Queensland. That seems to me to be a really natural fit. And I really don't think we can underestimate Bennett's presence on this team and the star power that he's able to draw. You know, he's been such a winner, and he has been for so long, and everybody at the highest levels of the game respects him so much. It's really the Dolphins' trump card in the recruitment states, I would think.
Yeah, I had a chat with Terry Reader this morning on the program, mate, and I said to him, this is, you know, you've got the 1-2 punch coming. First part was get yourself into the competition, then you come out, you'll announce Wayne Bennett 1 week, and then a marquee player probably within 2 or 3 weeks possibly. And there's your big 1-2 punch. Talk about making a statement. It's a ripping article, mate. Great coverage this morning across the board under the heading, So Who's It Going to Be? You can catch Campo's squad there, pages 68 and 69 of the Daily Telly this morning. Thanks for your time, mate.
No worries, Matty. Thanks for having me.
Nick Campton there, always great with his time on the morning show. Keep your texts coming in, 0457 736 736, or you can get us on our Twitter feed, at Matty White, S-E-N. Dan has done that, and he said, I don't care who they sign, the Dolphins, just as long as John West is their first main sponsor. That'd be gold, seeing John West on a Dolphins jumper. Thank you, Dan. I like the way you are thinking. We'll take a break. We need to convene a little Tommy's Tribune here. I need to get him back on track. He seems to be walking away from his own paper, so let's get that going after this.